Have you ever asked yourself the question, how much do you want to be like Jesus? Have you ever said that throughout a day? I know I certainly have, and sometimes the response to me is like, what if I knew that the life of Christ meant that I would be considered foolish to the world, to those around me? So it's always become really a convicting kind of question in my own mind. How much of Jesus do I really want, Bo? And that kind of question is relevant at any area of your life, whether you're a teenager and you're going through teenage stuff, or whether you're like me and you're in your 40s and you're going through kind of your midlife stuff, or you're getting older in life and you're in your 90s, you know? And you're going through what you're going through. Becomes very challenging of a question. And it becomes challenging for what Paul the Apostle says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me read you from verse 12 on. And really, he's talking about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection in this. But he says something at the end that is very convicting. He says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has not been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Now, verse 18, we really get to the kicker part of this, 18 and 19. "Then also those who have fallen asleep or dead in Christ have perished." And now verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." I don't know if you quite grab exactly what Paul's saying there. He's saying the sacrifice of being a Christian is so radical. Check this out. It is so intently hardcore when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, that to your friends and to your family and to those around you, your life, if Christ is not real, if it's not really true what you believe, then it is a pitiable life. That's what Christianity is supposed to look like. And that is convicting. Paul didn't come at it with the perspective of that. Oh, you know, you can live a Christian life, and at the end of the Christian life, if it's not true, it's okay because, hey, we lived a pretty cool life. We prospered, blah, 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 blah. We did this. We had good principles, da, 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 da. Paul saw it as that is wrong. The Christian life was one that was seen by people as the most pitiable. And you know what that word can be translated? Miserable. It becomes so convicting, I ask myself a question when I study this stuff. Bo, is your life pitiable to others? And I want you just to ask that question about you. Jesus said phrases that seem so crazy to people who don't know him, who don't love him. Think of some of the things Jesus said. "The last is first." That seems kind of unjust, right? I ran a race, I got first place, and he goes, "Sorry, you got last place." It'd be weird, right? All of us soccer parents would be screaming, "What?" You know what I mean? You know? It says, "The humbled will be exalted, and the exalted will be humbled." Jesus said, "Happy are you when you are persecuted." Jesus said, "Don't even worry about your life. How many of us have found that one kind of ridiculous? But don't worry. He also said, hate your life in this world. Jesus also said, store up treasure in heaven and not on the earth. He also said to take up your electric chair. Take up your cross. That's a pretty radical statement. Jesus said to love your enemies. He said to do good to those who spitefully use you. See, what it's supposed to be a most pitiable life to people who don't know it. Now, the topic that we're going to go over today is one that I've chosen is the betterment of submission. So the topic is one of submission, which seems foolish to so many people who do not understand the treasure that Jesus Christ is. And there's no doubt there's people in this room that this topic is going to be somewhat of a struggle with you too, and I hope to alleviate some of that struggle today. In talking about this, it's important that I do something for you guys, and that is I take what is a negative and I move it into a positive, or you won't grow in this area, in this crucial area of being like Jesus. Submission has been so long a negative idea. Even when I say the word submission, it kind of carries like a whoa. And there are, I think, reasons for that. I mean, when I think of our world today, I think of what's happening in the Muslim world today, and I think of what the term Islam means, which it means submission. And I think that carries somewhat of a negative idea in our brain currently. But we must turn this into a positive, or we too will be missing out on something very vital in our Christian life. I want to ask you one other question, and that is, have you had submission modeled for you? If you find there's a lack in understanding this Christian characteristic in your life, probably like me, you haven't had this area modeled too well for you. So maybe that's why there's a lack in your own life with this character. And there's really three things that I want you to understand today. One of them we're going to talk about is the foundation of submission. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about what is our view of Jesus and his call on our life. We will see that Jesus himself, being God the Son, practiced this life of submission and called us to partake in this life as well for our joy and for the Lord's glory. I love A.W. Tozer. He's a wonderful writer. If you've ever read any of his stuff, you know that I speak the truth. He's just an incredible writer. But he said something. He said, what comes into our minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think of God? Is submission one of those things? We're going to look into that. The second thing we're going to talk about this morning is the conflict of submission. There are and there is enemies that would love to sideline us, or even better, fake us into thinking that we're living a Christian life when really we are not. We are missing out. And we want to talk about that. What are the things that want to dethrone this weapon of submission that we have to fight our enemies? What truly wants to dethrone, kind of usurp the authority of Christ in our life? And now it wants to ride on the throne. We're going to look into that. What is the conflict? The third thing I want to talk about is the ministry through submission. That God desires to use us, his body, the church. The church is to shine Christ to a lost and dying world. That is the purpose of us as the body of Christ. And we'll see Paul the Apostle's emphasis on this practice of submission in his teaching. And when you really get into it, the whole Bible is just filled with this idea of submission. But first, let's pray, and then we'll get into our scriptures. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get into your word today. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would use your word, and your spirit would take that word and touch our hearts, and that our hearts would be good soil for your seed to fall upon. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I'm going to talk about the word. I love that. Amen. First, we're going to talk about the word a little bit, submission. This word in Greek is hupotasso. And the word hupotasso in the Greek means this. It means two things. One of them is a military way of defining this term. And it means to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So arranging like a troop division. You know, putting things in order where you have the leader and then you have those that follow. You know, Paul even used this idea, if you've ever read 2 Timothy, he talks about this. I can just read you a little section of this. But he says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." That's the idea, is that Jesus has enlisted you into his army, right? You guys remember those little kid songs? We are, you know, yes, sir. No? Okay. Anyway, there's little kid songs that talk about that. But anyway, Jesus is the commander, right? And then we all are submitting under him. And so that's the first idea of this word, hupotasso in the Greek. But it also carries another idea, non-military use, and that is a voluntary attitude of giving in. And that one's going to, I want you just to really have that sink into you a little bit. A voluntary attitude of giving in. Now, in the Latin translation of the Bible, which we call the Latin Vulgate, okay, that the word is submisso, and it means a lowering. I like this definition, a lowering, a letting down, sinking. That was that one. So you can see why maybe some of this has a negative idea, right? Submission. You think of lowering, sinking, putting yourself underneath someone, you know. And you could see where already the fight is going to start, right? All of us in here are human beings. We all have a fallen, sinful nature, right? And so all of our nature right now, our fallen, sinful nature is already going, right? You guys feeling it? Already freaking out a little bit. You're like, I don't know if I like this drowning thing. You know? Yeah. But yet the Bible talks all about this. It talks about submitting to leaders within the church environment. It talks about that. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5, Hebrews 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It talks about submitting, obviously, unto God. I mean, James chapter 4, verse 7 talks about submitting unto God. So that's a big issue, I would say, in the life of a Christian, is submitting unto God. It talks about submitting to bosses in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and some of these we'll get into, Titus chapter 3. It talks about submitting to one another in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And it talks about submitting to husbands for wives in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Colossians 3:18. Now, usually when I say submission, though, usually everybody, right? I mean, everybody here goes, submission. Women. That's a women deal. You know what I mean? So all the men right now, you guys have already checked out, right? All the men are like, oh, good, Bo, just, you're going to give it to her today. I just know it, man. This is going to be awesome. I mean, this is what I've been waiting for Pastor Scott to do for a long time. It's not going to be like that, sorry. I am so sorry. I have been married 21 years. This month, actually, 21 years. Pretty cool. And a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, Bo, you know, what is the deal with you and Sylvia in your marriage? And, man, it is off the charts. It is killer. It's so awesome. You guys dig each other. You've dug each other forever. There's pictures of you when you're teenagers and you're crazy. And you guys have grown into this relationship with one another. And if my wife were to die, man, you guys would be the first to see me crushed, man. I would be, You know, I would know Jesus. I would have joy in Jesus for sure. There'd be incredible joy. But I've known my wife since I was 7 years old. I mean, we grew up together, did a ton of dirt together, tons of bad love relationship stuff. You know, we didn't know Jesus, you know, things like that. But a lot of people, I'm getting to the point that a lot of people ask me about my relationship with Sylvia because it truly has been an incredible 21-year journey, man. I mean, absolutely off the charts. I mean, really an incredible marriage. And I just can't express how cool it's been. It's been absolutely, I hope every student in there, I always tell the students, man, I hope that you can experience this one day, that marriage gets better and better and more joyful and more deeper, and the love and the roots just go down, and it's incredible, man. I've blogged on this on our Running Life blogs. I've talked about it quite a bit, but a lot of people ask me those questions about how do you guys have such an incredible relationship like this, and this is one of the tricks of the trade. Is this issue right here of submission. And again, you already think, oh, he's talking about his wife, but we're going to see that it's different. It's a lot different. The first thing we got to get down is the foundation of submission. And for that, we have to look at Jesus Christ because he is the foundation of the Christian. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, if you will, and turn with me there. And in Luke chapter 22, it's a very important part of Jesus' life. It is his last night with his disciples, and it is the time of the Passover. And as he is commemorating the Exodus, and they are eating the elements of the Passover, which some of that symbolism is bitterness, the bitter labor and toil of Egypt. And I just want to put you in Jesus' mind frame. And they're partaking of these, non-yeast crackers with this kind of grainy-looking food and bitter herbs and things like that. They're commemorating the bitterness of bondage and what it was like for the people of Israel. And he says to them during a dispute that creeps up during the dinner table scene. And if you've ever been like me and you've had some family, big family gatherings, and it's always the scary time, right? Because it's at dinner where usually someone starts talking about something, you know, and things get kind of crazy, you know? And that's kind of how I picture this event was, where all of a sudden it says in verse 24, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So things started getting a little sticky, I'm sure, and a little weird. And Jesus says to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. So that's our Jesus. He is one. He is the one who is the servant king. He tells us to be lowly. He actually says to be younger, to act like you are the younger one needing to respect the older one, that you are to act like that, right? And he who governs as he who serves, meaning your rulership, your lordship, your headship, men, should look as one who serves. Whoa. Jesus says, you want to lead? Walk in this way. Walk in the way that I'm walking. Do you show that to your wife? Now, he says also some more things during this time that is very cool for you to know about the issue of submission, and it's found in John. So if you go to John, and you go to chapter 13, during that same night, during the same time, he now is in this dispute with the disciples about who is the greatest in the kingdom, and he just got done mentioning what he just got done mentioning, and then he does this. He girds himself with a towel, he gets on his knees, and he starts washing the disciples' feet at the same moment. And as he does this, He says, do you know what I have done to you? In verse 12. And then it says in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am the Lord, by the way, Jesus says. It's not that I'm not God because I did this. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So it's interesting that God would be submissive. That would be a very interesting idea, say, to someone who would be Muslim, I'm sure. The idea that God would be submissive would be pretty radical of an idea. Why would God be submissive to man? Right? He's God. But yet we know that God is revealed himself in as a God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see this literally fulfilled in the Son. Even in the book of Isaiah, some of the most amazing prophecies in the book of Isaiah, God talks about himself, the Lord, Yahweh, being God. And then he says, and my Redeemer, Elohim, also God. Meaning, how can God, all, you know, he's the Lord, but he also is the Redeemer, the one who gives his life for people. How can this happen? How can God be submissive in that kind of way to serve mankind? And it's through the work of Jesus Christ, God the Son. Amazing. But now, so we see that little insight that God himself exercises this attitude. For I have given you an example in verse 15 that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So if I do these things of walking in a submissive way, so why not you walk in this way, in a submissive way? So for all of us already who are thinking, oh, I don't know about this idea, you know, I don't know about this idea, I want you to see how big of an idea, how big of a problem this could be in your life. Meaning if you don't grab this, then you are not walking as Jesus walked. That's a pretty big deal. And that should lead us to want to pray earnestly, Lord, help me to walk as you walked in this way of this submissiveness. It says, verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know that I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me shall be lifted up, or lifting up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes that when he does it, when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So Jesus gives us an incredible example there. This isn't just a New Testament idea. The Old Testament, when it talks about the coming of Yeshua or Jesus, in the book of Isaiah 53, the very famous passage of the suffering servant, look at the characteristic that is in verse 7 of chapter 53 of Isaiah. It says that Jesus, he would be oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. How many of us men open our mouth? How many of us are women or open up our mouth? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent. Isn't that beautiful? The idea of submission with Jesus is found even in his, what he would be like. One of the characteristics of him would be this idea of submission. So it's important for us to understand that our foundation to want to submit and to see it as a betterment has to be rooted in that Jesus partook of it. And if Jesus partook of it, it's got to be pretty cool. It's got to be something that's, you know, definitely redeemable. Something that's worth attaining to. See, if you don't see even the first one, that it certainly won't be a betterment. You'll always look at it as a drag. I went into marital counseling. I went in, even if you're single, submission's important for you. You know, we'll see that. But, you know, and hey, the pastor told me, you know, to walk in submission and that kind of thing. You know, it'll be something like that. It'll be something where someone told you to do something instead of something like, man, dude, I want to be like Jesus, man. That's the best. Because I've tried to be like me, a selfish person, and gosh, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? So maybe I do need to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is the conflict of submission. Because as we all know, when we want to conform and when we try to conform to a life of Jesus Christ, there is going to be something that comes against us in this battle. And I want you to see that there is a conflict. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to link this word submission to another word at this point. And I want you to catch this. First Peter chapter 5, let's look at verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders." Ah, isn't that great? That's awesome. I love that passage now. Now that I'm 42, I could, you know, say that to the students, man. You got to respect me, man. You got to submit yourself to me. It says, but now check this out, next little sentence out. "Yes, all of you be submissive to one another." Wow. "And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now I want you to see the link now in the scriptures of the characteristic of submission with the overall idea of humility that is to be expressed in the Christian's life. Now we see them being linked together. If you want humility in your life, and if you've ever prayed, "Lord, I would love to be a humble person in my life. I would love for that to happen, but I understand I'm not." It's not going to happen if you don't seek a submissiveness of character. It won't happen. And you won't be like Jesus. You might think you're like Jesus. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, you know that you can go your whole Christian life, man, thinking you're walking the Christian life. "Man, I'm doing great. I'm prospering. Things are great. Blah, 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 blah. God, my life's in order. My kids are in order. Everything's in order. Everything in order." And you got it all wrong. All wrong. You have not expressed Christ. You've expressed your own thoughts of Jesus, but you haven't shown them Jesus. You haven't lived it. Your kids don't know what it looks like. They don't know what Jesus looks like. It has been a farce. Now, it's not just in 1 Peter chapter 5 that I see the link between submissiveness and humility, but turn with me now over to James chapter 4. And look at James chapter 4, and look at verse 7. This is that famous passage, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Do you see that again? Submit to God, humble yourself. You see the link again in that idea that a part of humility is submissiveness. You can't have humility unless there's this heart of being submitted to God. In the book of James, there is a culprit that is fighting against the Christian's life to be like Jesus. And look at it. It's in verse 2. And if you look at what this is, it is lust. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. There is a lustfulness. When I'm not living in a submitted lifestyle, I am living in a lustful lifestyle. And this is vital because what I have to understand as a human being is that if I do not be conformed, if I'm not conformed to the image of Christ, to Jesus, in this idea of submission, then what I am doing is I am living a self-centered Christian life, which is concerned with my own needs and desires. And this is how so many Christians live. So many. It saddens my heart. It just burdens me that so many Christians live a self-centered Christian life. It is not love is does not seek its own, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 defines agape love, right? God's love does not seek its own. Yet what we do is we seek our own. What do I want in my home? I want the dishes to be done this way. I want the bed to be made that way. I want things to be done this way. Things aren't done in the manner I like them to be done. You don't do them the way I do them. See, that's how I like them done. Can't you do things the way I like them done? Can't you respect me? Wrong. Oh. You got it all wrong, dude. You got it all wrong. Christianity is not about getting your way. Getting things done the way you want them done. And if you can't control your wife and your family to meet all your self-centered needs, then they're not respecting you. Because really, Christianity is all about you. Aren't you the Jesus in this family? And it becomes this horrible mistreatment. Is there any submission? Lust, wanting your own desires. The other adversary is not just lust, but we read it in 1 Peter chapter 5. It was God resists the what? The proud. Pride is the enemy of submission. If you find in your own heart, as a person, as a wife, or of a man, when it comes to not wanting to walk the road of submission, you will find lust, self-centeredness, self-pleasing. You will find pride, wanting things to go your own way at the root of the fight. And if I am going to win the war against lust and pride in my life, I have to pick up the tool of submission. If I don't pick up that tool, I will not win on this battleground at all. And you will have a miserable existence. You will have a Christian marriage, don't get me wrong, but it will be one that is not filled with joy. There will be no joy there, and if there's no joy, then there is no exaltation, right? No exaltation if there's no joy. You can't exalt Jesus and not have joy in him. I love Jesus, but I don't really have a lot of joy in him. Right? I love my wife. Yeah, I love my wife. I'm married to her, but do I want to kiss her? Not really. You know? You cannot exalt it without joy. And what will fight that is pride and lust, wanting your own things, your own way. How many of you guys have heard Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22? Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. How many of you guys have heard that? What's Ephesians 5, 21? The verse just before it. You guys are flipping around? What's the verse right before that no one says nothing about? right? No one says nothing. It bugs me so much. Now, if you come to me for marital counseling, I am going to pound verse 21 in your guys' mugs. You know what I mean? That'll be the one I hit. But what does it say? Submit yourselves to one another out of the fear of God. Right? We get a little smack from the Lord. What? I thought as a man, that's her call. Her call is to submit, man. I mean, it's a cool call, too. It really is cool. Right? And that's how we try to put it. You know? I'm glad it's your call, though. But really, Ephesians 5:21 says, guess what? Submit yourself to one another out of the fear of the Lord. And why don't you turn with me over there, and we'll go over the third thing, the ministry of submission. So we went over the foundation of submission, which is Jesus. We went over the conflict of submission, in submission, which is going to be our fight against our own self-centeredness, issues of lust and pride. But now we want to look at the ministry that we can have through submission, that it really does have a really cool effect. And let's look at Ephesians 5, chapter 21. And there it is right there. I was not lying to you guys at all. It says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, let me look, tell you exactly what Paul's getting at. Let's look at verse 15. What is the drive of the apostle here? It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's the idea that Paul's getting at here. I don't want you guys to be foolish. I don't want you to walk foolish. I don't want you to walk in a way where people around you go, man, these Christians, man, they say they're different, but, you know, they're not at all. They're just like us, prideful, self-seeking, arrogant. It's all about us. You know, they're like every other religion in the world. They just got their own little bag of tricks that they just observe and da-da-da-da-da, that kind of thing. They're miserable. They look like every other miserable religion out there in the world. You know what I mean? But, hey, golly, they like it. You know, so we'll let them be them. He says, I don't want you to walk that with that kind of, you know, to have people have that kind of view of you. I want you to work uprightly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, he says, because the days are evil. And then he says, therefore, do not be unwise. Again, wise, be wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wow, this is the will of the Lord. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is wastefulness. Just wasteful, man, to get drunk. It says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The idea of continually being filled is in the original. A continual work of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, man. When you're talking to people, man, you know, sing songs of the word over them. You know, speak good words to them, you know. Speak the Bible over them. Encourage them. This kind of thing. He says, giving thanks always in all things for God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks to the Lord. Submitting to one another out of the fear of the Lord. Do you get the flow there now? Submitting to one another is to walk in a wise way, to walk in a godly way. It is to be there so that the outside world notices a difference in your life. See, that is the point of walking in the characteristics of Yeshua, of Jesus, is when we walk in his characteristics that people now will see Jesus in us. And so now we are letting our light so shine to a lost and dying world. And this is the ministry of submission. You cannot shine Jesus without showing his characteristics to people. Your wives will not know Jesus unless you husbands show them the Lord. And wives, people won't know the church and the heart of the church for Jesus Christ if you don't have a heart of submission yourself. And single people, people will not take you serious in your walk with Jesus Christ unless you carry this quality of Jesus with you, this one of submission. And we see this over and over. I want you to see that Jesus was submitted. When we look at these passages that we've looked at already, Jesus was submitted to the will of God, and he also was submitted to the will of man, even to the point of submitting himself, placing himself under voluntarily, to the point of even death on the cross. Meaning, even though an injustice was happening to Jesus, Jesus placed himself underneath the government at that time. That's a pretty radical act of submission. And I want you to see that this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to refer to when we see, or we're going to see Peter, the Apostle Peter is going to refer to this, that when injustice happens to us, even if we go take it like Jesus took it, then it is a will of God and it's a work of God in shining the characteristic of Jesus to the world. I don't want you to believe me what I say about that. I want you to look at the Word of God. So let's go back, if you will, to 1 Peter, and let's go to chapter 3 and just look at this. Because submission sometimes is a character that will need to be effective when things aren't going well. And so turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Or chapter 2, sorry. Now, if you look at chapter 2 and you look at verse 13, we see our word there. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So underline verse 13, the word submit there. Now look at verse 18. Servants, be submissive. You should underline that word, submissive, to your masters with all fear, not only to those good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Stay right there. I'm letting that, the pause is a speaker pause. You know, I'm pausing because I want it to sink in a little bit. But I also want to read to you something that's found in, let me find it first. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll read it to you. Paul got upset at the church at Corinth because they were suing one another within the body of Christ. There was lawsuits. It would be like me suing you in the front row. You, Popeye, I'm suing you, and you're suing me. You know, we come in on Sunday, and we're just like, oh, I'm grumpy. I'm like, yarrah, you know, God's going to destroy the wicked. And da-da-da, you know what I mean? And you're bummed at me. And now Paul says this in verse 7. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure that you go to law against one another. Why do you not just rather accept wrong? Why do you not let yourself be cheated? Is that not a stab in just the heart of lust and pride? How many of you guys really are ready to be cheated? How many of you guys are ready to be wrong? Check this out. For the sake of Christ. See, our concern, what Peter's getting at, is the concern for Jesus is so great in the Christian's life. It is so first and foremost. Above all things, I need and I desire and my joy is rooted in reflecting Jesus. This is where my life is. It's in reflecting Jesus to Sylvia and to my kids. They need to know Jesus. They don't need to know Bo. Bo is a sinner. Bo is horrible. He is wicked in every sense of the word. There is lust and pride and greed and horrible things in this dude's mind that are sick. I am a sick person, but they need Jesus above everything. Man, they need to know him. So, Lord, kill me. put me to death that you may live through me, that this life of humility and submissiveness will flow through my life and touch them and impact them so that they would see you, Jesus, and not me. Please do that work. And this is it. This is what Peter's getting at. This is what Paul's getting at. As Christian, you must get your eyes off of you. You must. And you need to now set it and fix your eyes on the Savior. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, he continues with this. And his example, he says, you don't want to be cheated, but you have to understand for conscience towards God, if you endure grief and you endure suffering, this is commendable before God. For verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he gives us the example. For to this you were called. This is your calling, Christian. So now when I write the betterment of submission, that is not an act of, you know, this is what you should do. But now Peter's saying, this is your actual call. This is the call. This is what you said yes to when you said yes to Jesus Christ. You are now picking up your cross. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, Jesus committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. It says, who was when he was insulted, he did not insult in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten. He did not threaten. He did not come against and say, you did something wrong, man. You're going to get it. He did not threaten. How many of us threaten when an injustice is going to happen to us? How many of us need to get our way? Are you shining, Jesus? And it talks about him bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. That he is our example of this work of submission. And the ministry that can happen through this is that now you shine Jesus to the world. You not only shine Jesus, but there is an incredible display of fruit that is starting to happen in your life that is showing that you are from another world. And look at James. We'll go back. We're kind of flipping through James here a lot. But look at James chapter 3 and verse 17. Do you want a life that changes other lives? Do you want your kids to be much more than have a Christian education? Because a Christian education will not change their life. I'm sorry, but the Bible does not say anywhere, you must go to a Christian school and you will be born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord of your life. To be born anew. Nothing in this world, there's no Christian thing in this world that will help out. It has to be a work of God in us. So let's not be fooled into thinking that just because we have things the way we want them or we think they should be, that really we can throw off living in the characteristic of Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that Jesus' characteristic of humbleness and submissiveness was that of heaven. Because look at James chapter 3 and look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of God, is first pure. This is what heaven's going to be like. Then peaceable. Gentle. And look at this next one. Willing to yield. Submissiveness. This is what heaven's like, guys. And if you do not like guys and girls, single, married, whatever, if you do not enjoy, find your joy in submissiveness now, heaven might be hell. Because there's going to be a lot of it. And you guys know I'm saying that heaven can't be hell. But I'm saying, let's reflect that life of Christ today, here, for the glory of God, because of God, because our joy is rooted in being like Jesus. And we're not going to settle to be like us, like any other. So what does this mean practically? It means there should be some prayer in a lot of our lives. Lord, help me to walk in this characteristic. For a lot of us men out there, it means maybe the start of rethinking things, right? For a lot of us men, it might be, you know, having to walk humbly with our families and saying we're sorry. And saying that, you know, everything that you've asked them to do and to be like and da-da-da-da-da has really been for your own control of life. Your own wanting to control your family. And that really you need to let go of that and allow Christ to be the ruler and reigner of the family. And that you're willing for that to take place and you're going to work on that in your life. For the wives out there, it might be something where this word carries a deep hurt in it. And there's a lot of sadness when you hear the word submissiveness, and it's been used very wrongly in your life. So now when you hear the word, you don't even want to go there. You've hunkered down, and you're just maintaining. And I pray that it would now start with just simple crying out to God to make you like Jesus, that your focus wouldn't be on your husband or on anything else. It would be focused on you. For it says for a wife to submit to the husband as unto the Lord. That the Lord would be your focus. And for those that are single, I pray that you would impact people around you. They would see a difference, as the apostles spoke about, that they should see a difference in your life. And one of those differences that they might look at and be say, man, what a pitiable life that you would submit to that. What a pitiable life that you would let people walk over you like that. That you would use your money for that kind of stuff. That you'd use your talents for those kind of things. That you would lay down your talents for the sake of Christ. It could be the simple things. Praying before a game. People think it's the most foolish thing. But that would be the most impactful thing. You would be shining Jesus. Shining that heart of humility to a world that so desperately needs Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and you would impact us. And Father, I know in my life as a guy, these scriptures just have crushed me and have made me realize how far I have to go. Lord, that I'm not there yet. Father, may you be the center of my life, and our life as a church. Maybe these Bible studies that we go through week after week be molding us and changing us into your image. And Father, we pray that it would spur us to further seek you and pray to you and just start by submitting ourselves to you. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that our joy can be found in you and nothing less but you, Jesus. And that you are our rock, you are our foundation. Lord, we live in a world that is so needing to know Christ right now. And we pray that you would use all of us in this church. Just use us in our neighborhoods and in our work and different areas, Lord, but in our home especially, to shine Jesus. Help us to win our children to you, our family members to you. Thank you for the examples in this church of those that pray continually for their families. And we pray, Lord, just collectively now as a body, we lift them up to you. We pray that you would use us, Lord. Give us that submissive heart, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.